Patanjali, in his commentary, deals with the gunas at length. As you know, there are three gunas in the Vedanta and the yoga philosophy, which consist of tamas, which is the guna of darkness, inertia, and a sort of confusion. The river Thames is the river Tamasa. It comes actually from that word, tamas, dark. It's the dark river. Then rajas, which comes originally from a word meaning red, to redden. And it may be connected with our word rage. It stands for passion struggle. A man of tamas is a man of inertia. He just wants somehow to survive. He doesn't sort of so much meet the shock of life as try somehow to take refuge and get by. The man of rajas throws himself into the battle of life with enthusiasm and joy. But his every action is for his personal advantage or the advantage of his family or clan or country. And he can't remain calm. He's identified with his individual self-interest. Then the third one is sattva, which literally means truth. And this is the guna, or the aspect of matter and mind, which is balanced, clear-sighted, sees clearly, and is rational, intelligent, and is harmonious. In the Chinese system, they have only two gunas. And it makes a great difference to the fundamental outlook. They have only two. They have the yin, which is corresponds to tamas, the inertia, darkness. It means the shady side of a hill. And yang, which is the positive and the thrusting forward. Here I am, the shouting, excited, achieving element. And they have these two. And it's noteworthy, the Chinese say yin, yang. We say positive, negative. And to a Chinese, that means that Westerners are rather on the yang side, positive. And then the negative is follows after, it's less important. But in the Chinese, it's yin first. And then yang. Now there's no place, this is corresponds to the rajas. One reading of it is you're born here, almost in darkness, and then gradually you increase in your activity, your intelligence, your ambitions, your hopes, your affections, until you're about, say, 25. Then here, in this section, say 25 to 50, you're in sort of full bloom. A man's furiously trying to achieve his ambitions and very often tragically failing. And the woman's building up a world of her own. She's bringing up the children and she's becoming really somebody in the social life of the neighborhood. And then after 50, things beginning to tail off, the dark element of nothingness is beginning to come in. Here, and then we enter the darkness here. Then this is a period of complete darkness, and then born again. But there are only these two. Where does spiritual awareness come in? In the Vedanta system, tamas is dark. This is a furious, flaming red. Rajas is connected with rage. Now, the white, which you can't really see because it's transparent, is sattva. And this is awareness, intelligence, balance. It can utilize both the others. But it has judgment. It's not the inertia, oh, leave me alone, of tamas. It's not the, I'll show you, of rajas. But it's something balanced, which can use activity. When it's time to be active, can be very active. When it's time to be still, can be very still, but has clear awareness of both. Now, in the Chinese system, they have only yang and yin, this furiously active. The spiritual element has to enter into the yin, has to be included in the yin, because there's no third guna. And so the Chinese say, well, he who knows them both, but who holds to the yin, is the sage. We say, well, what's the difference between the sage and the man lying drunk? And the Chinese thinkers have considerable difficulty in distinguishing the two. They succeed, but it does tend to be a confusion. And the result of the Chinese philosophy has sometimes been rather passive and negative, holding to merely witnessing, not taking part intelligently. And they'll say, watch the great flow of nature. Well, this is all right. Well, the great flow of nature is not getting around my ankles too much. But if the great flow of nature is sending a flood of water up around my little cottage, then I need to build a little dike around myself. And then the other cottages in the neighborhood will build dikes around in anticipation of future floods. But that will all be the young, the active. And the true sage will just accept the flow of nature, even if it drowns him. The Chinese has been tended rather to the witnessing side. It's enough where we are. This is enough. This is good enough. There was a great reluctance in China to bridge the rivers. For centuries and centuries, no bridge over the rivers. Dangerous ferries. They didn't want to bridge nature to go against the great flow of things. The word for China in their own language is the central kingdom, the center of the earth. We are the center. So they had no interest in other countries at all. The Chinese points of the compass read east, west, south, north. East is the first one. Then west, then south, and north is the last one. We say north, south, east, west. East and west, the agricultural people. Sun rises in the east, sets in the west. This is the important thing for agricultural people who are sitting where they are. And the Chinese will say, well, yes, east and west, that's the sun, that's for agriculture, that's sensible, of course, for us. The south, well, that's where the life and light is, isn't it? The south you go, the more luxuriant the vegetation, the easier it is to live. North, there's nothing in the north. Just snow and ice. The more north you go, the less there is. So naturally, north comes last. You say to them, isn't it odd that we Westerners all say north, south, east, west? Ah, I say, yes. Because you're brigands, you're Vikings, you see, Vikings sailing around the world, you know, little ships, conquering everything, exploring, looking for things. You're not satisfied on your island. You've got to go out, and so you needed the North Star to navigate by, didn't you? That's why North comes first, the Pole Star. So they view us as rather a sort of furious and young like people, and their ideal. Chinese, it tends to be mixed up with the yin. But in the Vedanta, the Indian system, there are three. And there is this inertia and stillness, like, for instance, in sleep, which is necessary. The furious activity, which you need. But there's a balance which can check ambition, which can stir up laziness. And finally, which can lead beyond itself. Becomes almost transparent.